Hi, I'd like to welcome y'all. 21st annual Augusta Festival celebration tonight. My name's Angie DeBoard. It's a real pleasure to be here. Tonight we're beginning with a young woman who is teaching the beginning banjo class. She brought some fans with her. How much did she pay you? No. Carrie now lives in Louisville, Kentucky. She's presently working with, I turned 40 and my arms got so short. Wait a minute. She's presently working with Dan Ducton, I think, on a fairy tale folk opera down in Louisville and Somerset, and it's called The Secret Commonwealth, and it's a fairy tale folk opera. I mean, that's something. She told me that in high school, she fell in love with two people. One of them was Van Gogh, and one of them was Gene Ritchie. So today, she's a painter, and she sings. And, of course, she plays the banjo. Now, the child couldn't help it. It's in her blood. She's Lily Mae Ledford's grandgirl. So let's make a big welcome for Carrie Norris.
Thank you. First of all, I'm going to sing a song called Loving Hannah. I heard Gene Ritchie sing this song probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and just absolutely fell in love with it and started singing it. So I'm going to sing that, and I'm going to follow it with a banjo tune. It's tuned down to an F tuning, and it's kind of a strange tuning. It's called Shady Grove, and it's an old-timey version of Shady Grove. I learned it from a man by the name of Lee Sexton, an old-time banjo player who lives down near Hindman, Kentucky. So, Lovin' Hannah. I rode to church last Sunday. My true love passed me by. I knew her mind was a-changin' by the roving of her eyes, by the roving of her eyes, by the roving of her eyes. I knew changing by the roving of her eyes. My love is fair and proper, her hands and feet are small, and she is quite good looking, and that's the best of all. Oh, Hannah, loving Hannah, come give to me your hand. You said if you ever married that I would be the man. I'll go down by the water when everyone is asleep. I'll think of love and Hannah and then sit down and weep. I wished I was in London or some other seaport town. I'd set my foot on a bonny boat and I'd sail them seas all around. Yeah, I'd sail them seas all around. I'd sail them seas all around. I'd set my foot on a bonny boat and I'd sail them seas all around. Thank you. Thank you. Now I'd like to call a couple friends out, Carol Elizabeth Jones and James Leva. They're going to help me do John Henry. It's going out all over the place tonight. Another old-time tune called Pretty Polly, and this is one that I liked when I was little. I guess all children probably like those old murder ballads, seems like.
Thank you.
I used to be a rounder, I've been around this town. I used to be a rounder, I've been around this town. I courted pretty Polly, I've been all around. Polly, pretty Polly, come go along with me. Polly, pretty Polly, come go along with me. Before we get married, some pleasure to see. He led her over hills and valleys so deep. Song we're going to do is a song that Gene Ritchie wrote. It's called The Last Old Train's A-Leavin'. And it's kind of a song that she wrote about when certain things in the mountains started happening, like, I guess, like strip mining and a lot of people clearing a lot of land. A lot of people started leaving and trying to find work other places other than the mines. And people said, well, you know, you just ought to go. You just need to leave. And there were a lot of people that didn't want to leave because it was their home. So it's kind of a song about that. Have to go through tuning again here. Two, three, four.
train's leaving. Last old train's leaving. Don't you want to go?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to make a few little announcements here. The performers have recordings for sale at intermission and at the end of the concert, and their tapes will also be for sale down in Augusta Bookstore. Concerts are being recorded, and a portion of each concert will be included in a series of sampler tapes. There will be one sampler tape for each week this summer. Orders will be taken at the sales table in the lobby during intermission. I'd never been to West Virginia before last year. I like it a lot. It's real pretty. Yeah, I grew up down the Smoky Mountains in North Carolina, and I just thought they were the prettiest mountains on earth, but, you know, y'all doing pretty good up here. I was getting ready to leave and looking at the map and talking to my husband about my trip, and he's a big history feller. I'm not. I don't know nothing about history except for my family's a little bit. And he started telling me a little bit about West Virginia, about how it used to be part of Virginia where we live now. And I said, well, why did they ever leave Virginia? And they didn't go very far, did they? And he told me a little bit about some of the reasons West Virginia left Virginia. And I told him a story. Every family in the South, and maybe in the North too, has a Civil War story. I think everyone kind of has one Civil War story, kind of their token family story. And ours was about how my granddaddy came over, well, my granny's grandfather was riding a horse over from Tennessee. This is now down into the Smoky Mountains, North Carolina. And she says that he was froze to his horse. And the men, it ain't funny, that's my. And the men built big fires up. It must have been a Yankee life, don't you think? No, the men built big fires up outside, and they melted water and poured it on his legs to get him all unfrozen from his horse. And then they shot pistols at his feet, making him dance so he wouldn't lose his legs like that, you know? There's a lot of stories like that. You know, the mountain area all the way up and through here was, yeah, I'm from a Dyson family, buddy. We've got a lot of good steps. But anyway, all the mountain family, there was a lot of family conflict during the Civil War through the mountain area, you know, neighbors fighting each other and families fighting each other and sometimes brothers fighting each other. And tonight when I was talking to Tom King, he was telling me that him and Bobby Taylor was like brothers. And I said, well, you don't fight like brothers, do you? And he said, heck yeah, we do. And well, they must not have been fighting too bad, because they've been playing together for about 20 years, and they're going to be out here playing for you tonight. They play the fiddle and the banjo, I think. What? Wrong. Guitar, thank you. What? So anyway, without further mistakes, I mean ado, let's give them a big hand. All right.
I don't play anything with less than 6 strings on it. Well, that's not so true. Thank you. We thank you. Thank you. It looks like I've got the green mic, so that that gives me the light to go ahead and talk just a minute. Bobby and I have known each other for 20 years. I heard him fiddling in his house in 1973 or 70. I think it was about the latter part of 73. And the woman that I was with at the time, I came back and I said, I hear a fiddle player somewhere. Is there anybody around here that plays a fiddle? And she goes, well, there's a guy over there that plays a fiddle, and I think his name's Bobby Taylor. So we looked him up in the phone book, and I called him up. I said, you don't know me. My name's Tom King, and I play the guitar. Why don't we get together? And so our relationship started there, and we've come to become quite good friends over the years, and what we play is pretty much music that was played around the Kanawha Valley of West Virginia. A lot of Clark Kessinger influence in the tunes. Bobby was good friends with Clark, and Clark Kessinger taught Bobby a lot of tunes. I was fortunate enough to meet Clark Kessinger through Bobby as a liaison. And I think Bobby is probably one of the smoothest and most melodic fiddle players that I've met in a long time. So without further ado, we're going to continue on and play. What are you going
to
play?
Well, I tell you what, I used to make Tom do all the announcing. I hated to hear my voice on a mic. We're going to try a little bit of an old tune that I get quite a few requests for from the older fiddlers. It's one called Rachel.
I got one more thing to say, and I'm going to shut up. For those of you folks who have seen me around campus this week, I had a nap this afternoon, so, yeah. Oh, boo! Oh, I'm ready to go. We're going to play music. I'll meet you at 2 o'clock this morning at...
I bet. The next tune I'm getting ready to do is a tune that I learned from a fiddler that is almost unknown to everyone. His name is Reese B. Jarvis. He was recorded as Jarvis and Justice in 1928 on Brunswick label. I'd heard my father talk about him many times, and he said we was kind of a few years finding or digging up the record of his Muskrat Rag, he called it. Now the tune, he called it what he wanted to call it, I guess. I don't know why he called it that, but it is McLeod's Rill. But he played this tune in, as I call it, a rolling style. He was from Roane County, West Virginia. And if I could get it half as good tonight as he could play it, half as smooth, I would be doing beautifully. But this tune was one of my first ones that I ever learned, and I still like how it flows. It goes a little like this.
I just might like to mention that Bobby made this fiddle that he's playing tonight. It's a real pretty instrument. It's a nice one.
Whether you like the tone of it or not, I guess the tunes that you hear me playing and the tone of the instrument is me.
Yep. Bobby Taylor.
We are, Tom. We're going to play a little faster here. If I don't tie my bow in about four knots. We're going to try one of Clark Kessinger's favorite tunes. I've been asked to do this by several people. And I said, well, after, you know, teaching all day, these acrobatics don't come as easy as you might think.
Watch the bow jump closely. I'll tell you,
yes,
it's one of the best.
Point it out now.
Yeah, I'm going to point it out. I'm going to put him right on the spot on the third part of the tune. It's almost as if the bow has a mind of its own.
It may. We'll find out. Thank you.
Wow, that was a guitar, wasn't it? You can take a little bit of them home with you. They don't eat much, this part. Take a tape. There's some tapes out in the lobby of their music, too, from Merrimack. And tomorrow's the last chance for anybody who wants to get anything from the Augusta store that'll be open tomorrow. It's full of souvenirs and tapes and all kinds of fun things down there. I was going to tell you a little story about this old man back home. Was walking through the woods. He'd been down to an auction they had, and it was Saturday evening. And he was come back through the woods, and it was getting about dark. And he had done pretty good at the auction. He had a lot to carry. He was carrying an anvil and a wash tub. Yeah, an anvil. Men's strong back where I come from, honey. He was carrying an anvil and a wash tub and two chickens and a pig. And he is walking along carrying all this casually. And he met up with this neighbor woman, and she started walking along with him. And he said, well, let's take a shortcut through this way. And she said, Lord, no, I ain't going in them dark woods with you. And he said, well, why in the world not? And she said, well, you're liable to get fresh with me if I was to do that. And he said, how in the world am I going to get fresh with you carrying all this stuff? She said, well, you could put the pig on the ground, put the tub on the pig, put the anvil on the tub, and I'll hold the chickens.